'cause your opinion don't matter. This maniac is gonna step on whomever.
Welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard, and we may be a few hours late, but there's a reason. On the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
That's it. That's my grand triumphant return to this national treasure of a show. That's not good enough. Corey, open up file 4.
Let's see.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster.
Faster than a rolling O. Stronger than Silent E.
Shh.
Able to leap capital T in a single bound.
Look, up in the sky.
What the hell?
It's the Crazy Joe
Rider.
What the flame and blue hell was that?
Ah, now that's a triumphant return.
Oh, jeez.
Well, just think, when you have your surgery, we'll have the same thing for you. Corey's back, and now he can see what he's been doing the last 8 years.
I won't be able to see anything, because I'll have an eye patch.
Oh, but eye patches are cool. They rate right up there with scars as chick magnets.
Well, let's hope.
Bank account. Sure. But if I may fudge a Beatles song, I'm getting better all the time.
That's not a good song to reference, by the way.
No, but it is for me, because it's true. I can actually...
I hope not all of it.
Well, yeah, Chris stopped beating me. She's letting me talk to my friends now. Man, she was mean, but she's changing her scene. Actually, I owe her a huge, huge debt, because basically I've been a frickin' vegetable in terms of being able to do anything in terms of housework or anything. I mean, the most I could do is like, okay, let me lift the chair, which is an automatic chair. You press the button and it reclines up so she can vacuum under it. And, I mean, she's been doing the washing, the cleaning. We haven't had a lot of snow, but she's been taking care of shit outside, the shopping. Me, meanwhile, under doctor's orders, have been sitting on my ass healing. I actually got to see an x-ray of my new hip, and it's massive. But he also pointed out, first of all, you've got a spiked titanium piece that goes into the bone. And he says, in time, the bone will actually grow into it, because it's like Swiss cheese. It has a lot of holes in it, like more like a sponge, I guess. And then, of course, the top part of the hip, if you think ball and socket, same way, the body will grow into it. And he said, it takes about a year for it to be 100%. As for... with him, I saw him, the doctor, like 2 weeks after. I'll see him in another couple weeks just to make sure everything's going. In the meantime, I'm doing physical therapy, move your leg in weird ways. Okay, I can do that now. Okay, how about this way? I can't do that. Okay, here's an exercise so you can do that. And there's a lot of prohibitions. I can't cross my legs. I can't move my leg inwards because they don't want the thing to pop out of the socket, which would basically mean another surgery. And the scar is not as cool as I thought it was. Did you ever see Rowdy Roddy Piper when he got pissed off? I think it was on one of the talk shows, right? It was wrestling fake. Yeah, you think that's fake? And he drops his pants, not all the way, but he shows the huge scar on his butt because he had that. Mine is like that, but it's not as large. At least it doesn't seem that way. because as time went on, they've improved how it goes in. Most people, they go in through the front, but because of my arthritis, I go through the back. So I'll have another scar to join all the other ones. What fun.
So you've got all these restrictions. Can you do the Fandango?
No.
Very, very
I can't even do the Whitney Houston, you know, I want to dance with somebody, where she shuffles across the stage. Nope. No moonwalking. No twister. I'll get you later, Mozique. It's slowly improving. I mean, the best I've actually felt is like when I get to walk around Target. And, I mean, yeah, sure, I get to park in the handicap stall, which is cool. And I finally got the actual permit, not just a piece of paper that says I can do that. But walking with the cane, I actually can walk around Target. And I usually get back and I don't feel too much pain. So it's a little achy, especially if I'm like start moving muscles that haven't been moved that way in a while. But for the most part, you know, you get home, take some painkillers, ice it down. So just retraining my body. The weird thing is, and I don't know if I talked about this when I gave you my little MP3 of how I'm doing, my right leg is now like 3/8 of an inch taller than my left leg. So when I stand, I actually feel, you feel it. You feel a little lopsided. And I got to make sure that I don't walk with a limp, because then I'll walk with a limp the rest of my life. I just got to learn to walk naturally. And then, of course, if I get the left hip done, you know, he says, yeah, that's usually when you even out. So, and they do that so that way your body has a chance to absorb the titanium hip in there. So the price of titanium ever goes up, I got that going for me, which is nice.
And all you got to do is walk naturally.
Yeah, that ain't happening. There's also a 90-degree thing, which I think I mentioned. I mean, when you're sitting, think about it. You sit at a 90-degree angle. I usually lean forward a little bit, and I can't do that. Lean backwards? Yeah, I can do that. But you always got to keep that 90-degree. So I can't reach down and pet my bunny. Not to mention there's a pen that dropped behind the computer that's been sitting there ever since I got back, because I can't bend down to get it.
It will be sitting there for the rest of your life.
It probably will be, because when I finally do get the approval to move that way, I probably just won't care.
Well, you had the whole month of December off. Now, if I remember right, you had a walker, didn't you?
Yeah, I used that for about a week.
Now, did you put the tennis balls on the walker, or do you even know what I'm talking about?
No, I didn't need to, because I didn't use it outside the home. I have not gone out of the house. In a month, I've been out maybe 4 times. And most of those were in the last 2 weeks, because I just was not mobile. When I got home, my whole day basically consisted of me on my ass, watching TV, making sure I had an ice pack on. And, of course, I had a lot of painkiller drugs. Oh. I had oxycodone. I had hydrazine. I don't know what it was. I saw a list of like the top 10 drugs that people get hooked on, and two of them were given to me. And the thing was, is I had to take them for pain, but really, I mean, compared to like the lung surgery I remember when I was 18, I did not have as much pain as I had anticipated. And I got to a habit of just taking my, how do hobbits say it, the second, third meal?
My fourth breakfast.
My second breakfast was my cup of pills, my shot glass of pills, and a large glass of water, probably a pint, to wash them some bitches down. Because everything, I mean, I had things for coating the stomach. I had things for baby aspirin to keep blood clots from forming. I had 4 or 5 different painkillers, 2 of them narcotics. Tylenol for this. Oh, it was just 1 for constipation. I mean, and on top of my normal breakfast of my diabetes pills, my blood pressure, my cholesterol stuff. So, and I did that basically twice a day. When I went and talked to the doctor, I said, I know they say every 4 hours, but everything was as needed. And I said, I didn't have a lot of pain. So I just take it to go to bed and to wake up. And then when I did my therapy exercises, sometimes I would take it mid-afternoon, either before or after, because I needed it. Now, course, it ran out, and I'm like, I don't really need it. Although I do kind of miss, I guess I understand the whole opioid problem, because I did get a comfortable numb when I would take these drugs. Yeah, take them. I'd usually have my Diet Mountain Dew, which probably accelerated it because of the caffeine. But I just sat there, and I felt numb. And it was kind of a good numb, you know, where you just, I don't know if anybody's, I guess getting drunk would probably be the closest relation you can get to it, but you don't lose really control. Your reaction times go down, which is probably why you shouldn't be driving or operating heavy machinery, which is embroidered on almost every single pill I've imbibed on. And I can also see how people, I mean, I was on probably the lowest dose you could possibly get. I can see where people would probably want to continue that feeling, especially if you had pain, if you had a chronic pain. And like I said, mine ran out. The doctor was very concerned about, you know, that I didn't get too addicted to these. And of course, even now, like I said, yeah, I miss kind of having that morning numb, you know, taking the pills and feeling it. But, you know, that's part of the healing process. So basically, yeah, I mean, I was talking with Corey beforehand. I stayed up till like 3-4 in the morning just watching television and movies. And then I would fall asleep for a couple hours, wake up about 9-10 o'clock, take my pills, get numb, start watching TV again. Although I'd take naps in between and do my exercise occasionally. Consequently, I have an entire list of movies. If you'd like, I can share with you my vast repertoire of movie watching, almost like an extended geeking.
Well, the first thing I want to ask is, did you read anything?
I actually did, because I did get one box day. And I don't have much in my geeking, but that was one of them, because the UPS guy was very nice and actually brought the box in and dumped it on my couch, which, as Corey knows, is part of the living room. That's kind of like where I've been, my base of operations. And then, of course, I could open the box from then and look at everything. And I did, I mean, I read quite a bit, my normal stuff. I've got a pile of number ones, and if you want, I can kind of browse through them and give you a quick review of what I thought.
Sure.
Well, like I said, my normal stuff, I still got like a big pile of stuff I didn't read. So, I halfway through, and I think this was more when I realized I wasn't going to get any coherent reading done under the drugs, I just stopped. And, of course,
you mean you didn't pick up your R-Crum and your Zap comics and read those while you were under the influence?
I didn't pick up, I should have. I didn't pick up any of the archives or the omnibuses or the hardcovers that we got from our Black Friday run, which I guess that was sad news, wasn't it? None of the recordings took.
Well, none of the recordings in the vehicle took. There's too much noise in the background, and there's one of them where it literally sounds like we're far away, and there's a race, like a NASCAR race, going between us and the recorder.
Yeah. It sounds like when we went to, what was that, the holiday deal that Daniel Moore works on all the time?
Oh, the Holiday Geek Expo.
I remember doing that. So, anyways,
that's
just
not
some
the
of the
one where the recording was bad. It was the one our first attempt at a convention, the FallCon, mm-hmm. where
yes.
you know, people could not hear the interviews over all the background noise.
And yeah, people would be standing right next to you. Hey, how you doing? I have an article. Hey, we're trying to record here, Mom. Oh well, that's in the past. In the currents, I've got a small pile of number ones and some other things I read. From Image, under the Top Cow Productions, Infinite Dark. Basically, it's over. Forget it. Mankind exists on a, I don't know if it's a space station or a spaceship, but basically it's pretty much it. And anybody who lives is pretty much in this Orpheus, which is kind of like a tomb, because they've managed to outwit the end of time, and now they're just there. And something happens in the dark sector. The dark sector being where some of humanity was supposed to survive, but they didn't get a chance to fill it, so they power it down. And Infinite Dark kind of reads like a crime noir mystery as to what's going on, because there is something out there. Just want you to see me. The first two issues I read, and again, I'm not one to give away too much stuff. Issue three may be out even as we speak. But just as you're reading it, just remain calm. Everything is under control. It's Infinite Dark. I did read Archie 700. I had decided I was going to stop Archie at 700. I didn't read 699 because it was a big recap of all of Mark Waid's run. Although something at the end of it happened that may get me to continue it, which means I'm 2 months out. I'll have to go to my friendly neighborhood source and pick up the issues as they come out. And Archie, Corey, did you happen to read issue 700?
Yes, I did.
Now, who was waiting in Archie's bedroom at the very end?
Should we spoil it?
Well, we put out a spoiler warning.
There's our spoiler warning. Archie, who's basically become a slut over the past few years, is now dating Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Which I find interesting because, first of all, he blows off Veronica. He blows off Betty. He blows off Cheryl. He blows off Josie from Josie and the Pussycats.
He didn't date Josie in the past, though. It was, what's her name?
Oh, but is that in the current continuity?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe.
I never know
I
what
can't
was.
Keep track.
No, we don't. And he walks in, and Sabrina's there. Of course, the other question is I know Jughead and Sabrina had a thing going, but I think they may have been just more friends than anything. So yeah. I thought that was kind of an interesting because to me, Sabrina the Teenage Witch was one of my faves. Not only in the really horribly animated cartoon show, but also in the various comics that I could pick up. And so Archie 700, which comes with, I believe, 700 variant covers. Is that right?
I can't keep track.
But the cool thing about it is that the cover galleries are all even, so you should not have to go crazy. For me, I picked up the Mike and Laura Elrod cover because it had a great drawing of Archie as he is now, plus a run of what Archie had been in the past. Second up, I might have chosen the David Mack cover because I really like David Mack. But they're all cool. If you could afford it, I mean, you could buy them all. But I do believe Archie's going to go back on my list, and I will have to check my list and make sure I ordered it. Miniseries time from Marvel, The Black Order. I picked it up because, you know, I'm in love with Proxima Midnight. Even though she is married to, I believe, Corvius Glaive. And in this continuity, they're both alive, so I got to behave myself. And, of course, Black Swan's there, too. She's pretty hot. But, no, I'm just kind of curious to see where they're going because I think this kind of fall got referred out of, was it No Surrender Avengers weekly show? And our series.
Yeah.
So this kind of deals with what they're going to do. And since it's a miniseries, I'll follow it, see where they go with it. From Antarctic Press, they have a bunch of cool series coming out. The first one I read is Punchline. I don't want to give too much away again, but it's kind of a hero at the end of her superhero span giving her powers on to the next person. And they're going to be a little bit of training. Of course, there's something going on in the background because we don't really understand why when we meet the current hero, you know, the one who transfers some of her powers over, she's pretty beat up and leaving, you know, messages, smashing her cell phone, bleeding to death. But she must have got better and she transferred her power. And in issue one, they just kind of show the first couple missions going on. Issue two should be out. And then just looking at the ads in the back, they have a couple other ones that look like they'll be kind of fun. And if it's a good take on a different type of superhero, if you're really tired of just Marvel DC. Although, you may want to pick up Marvel Action Spider-Man. As Corey will attest, I was not going to pick up the IDW relaunch of Spider-Man. And it too comes with about 700 different variant covers. The nice thing with IDW is you can look in the back and see where they are. A lot of them are store exclusives and things like that. But I went down to the Friendly Neighborhood Source. That was one of my when I finally got off the oxycodone and could drive myself places, I went over there just to pick up stuff that I'd been missing. And I figured I'd pick this one up. Because I think I heard you ranting about it, Corey. Did you like this one?
Which one? The IDW Spider-Man?
Marvel Action Spider-Man number 1.
I have not read it yet.
You haven't? Oh, geez, I thought you had already.
No.
See, I'm just assuming he has. I read it, and a couple of things came to mind. First of all, this has the same vibe to me as Ultimate Spider-Man. They're in high school, and you can tell by the covers, I mean, Spider-Gwen and Miles Morales are going to be there. They're not dealing with origin issues. They are Spider-Man is Spider-Man. And you can tell by the cover, Miles is going to weigh heavily into it. And it does take place in a larger Marvel universe because they're referring to Iron Man quite a bit. But it was just, it had that same, I want to call it like joyous, non-continuity, heavily laden feel that Ultimate Spider-Man 1 did. And I think I'm going to pick this up and ride along with it. I don't know if I'm going to pick up the other ones. I do believe the whole line, though, is going to be more lighter. I mean, it's not going to be like, Ultimate Spider-Man was really cool, really accessible. And then the Avenger line was just ultra heavy, like, oh, my God, I can't believe they did that. Really? This is in the same universe as Ultimate Spider-Man? But I think the whole IDW line is designed for that. Just if you want your own Spider-Man, this is the way to do it. And I picked one up. I believe I've got to pick up 2 and 3 or just back order them. So I recommend them. There was a book out from SBI Press called Comics, Illicit Press number 1. I picked this up probably because I saw Evan Dorkin and Sarah Dreyer did a story in it, but it's kind of an anthology of comic book themed stories done in different styles. I'll just like the one I'm talking, I'll look, it's called Sassy Best Friend by Rose Matafeo, okay, art and color, Robert Hack. And it's basically Sassy Best Friend is kind of a comic book stereotype, and these aforementioned sassy best friend decided that she wants to upgrade to something else, like maybe romantic lead or maybe something other than just a supporting character. So she has to do a screen test and discover if she has the chops to do become a something other than a sassy best friend. And to find out if she does, well, that's one of the 5 stories in Comics. The art's good. Printing's fine. Not all the stories. I got to admit, I got a bit of a headache when I was reading Poop Knife. But you might not.
I know about that story. Yeah. I know about that story. That is something where, yeah, I'm not going to say any more other than I read it was like, I shouldn't have ever read that.
It's fine. Yeah, I'm sure if maybe I should have saved some oxycodone to read that. The last one I read, and before I just kind of gave up on, you know, because it was hard to read when all the drugs were like in me. It made me tired. But as I said before I went under, I pretty much figured eventually I would just drop into watching television. But I had the first 3 issues of Uncanny X-Men. I may have to reread them because other than the reveal at issue 3, it really didn't stick with me much. Again, it could be because the drugs are making me woozy. It's a weekly series, and I figure I'm going to just hang on a board because they got a lot of ground to cover to reboot, revamp the X-Men. And of course, it's called Disassembled, so I should see there's going to be a lot of characters that I know and love, a lot of characters that I don't know. And I just got to kind of roll with the punches because if I really want to get back on the X-Men, this kind of seems like the way to do it. So I'm expecting in my next box day, maybe 3 or 4 more And since it's weekly, I'll try rereading them all again and come back and visit it. So, but I still got a big pile of stuff. I got the new Jim Starlin Thanos novel. And plus, like I said, when I went out to the source, I took a jaunt over to Dreamhaven just for the hell of it and picked up some books there. Not to mention some other things that I picked up for Christmas, which we'll talk about in Freaking and Geeking, if we ever get there. But I did, like I said, watch an awful lot of movies. Oh, wait, how did Grandpa say that? Grandpa, you lived an interesting life. That's a lie. But I have seen an awful lot of movies. And I will say, I did not see as many movies as I thought I would. And I'll tell you why when I get to the end of the one show that I decided I would sit down and binge watch. Now, most of these, of course, were Netflix things, because I've got Netflix, I've got Hulu, I've got Amazon Prime, and I'm just waiting for Disney. But, Corey, have you heard of The Ballad of Buster Scruggs?
Yes, it's the new Coen Brothers Western, but it's not really a movie, more just a bunch of short stories.
Ah, you had me at Coen. I mean, it was, saloon shout-outs, violent vigilante justice, covered wagons on the trail, six different tales. Oh, I enjoyed it. My wife and I watch it. We're just like, hey, let's watch this. It's Coen Brothers. And I haven't been disappointed by a Coen Brothers movie yet, and this one I have not been. And it was fun because they're getting to the point where I'm seeing characters or actors that I've seen in other roles, and when they appear, it's just a lot of fun. Now, I'm going to fire up the old Cray 2500. Let's see. Got to wind it up here. All right, I think it works. Corey, do you remember who played the evil sadistic guard in Shawshank Redemption?
I do not remember his name, no.
Well, I'm going to hang on a section. Shawshank Redemption cast. I think it's Clancy Brown. And as we were watching it, he has a part in it, and Chris and I were both like, wait a minute, who is that? And she runs to IDBM, and I'm sitting there thinking, and then I realize, Starship Troopers and Green Mile. And she goes, no, Shawshank Redemption. So it's that type of thing. You start seeing actors in roles that previous, and I a lot of times I don't know their names, but it was just a blast to do that. And you see six stories on Netflix. If you got Netflix, highly recommended. Also on Netflix, recently I just watched Ellen DeGeneres' Relatable. I don't know if it's because at the same time she announced how she may not continue her show in 2020 because her contract's up and she wants to do other things. And then I'm seeing she's doing this. So maybe that's part of it. She got back on stage. She did her stand-up act. Now I have a complicated relationship with Ellen DeGeneres because just like a lot of the women of my youth, Christy McNichol, Rosie McDonald, she went to bat for the other side, breaking my heart, stomping it into so much grape. Red goo.
Joe, I think I knew that she was playing for the other side long before she came out, because I actually saw her movie Mr. Right, mm-hmm. where she was in a romantic comedy. And oh my God, she could not have looked more uncomfortable through the entire film. And it wasn't her character either. Her character was supposed to be, you know, the plucky woman looking for love and finally finding the right guy. And she looked uncomfortable in every scene that had a man in it. And I remember walking out of the theater going, she's either a terrible actress or she's not really interested in any of those guys. And soon enough.
Well, she talks a little bit on this about how it hurt people when she came out because her show kind of got a little bump, but then the hate started.
Yeah.
And she said the whole thing.
That was back when if you were gay, the 90s were still not a good time for gay people.
No. Nope. And, you know, obviously now she's probably almost ranked there with Oprah because she's been doing her show for 16 years. And I got to admit, I didn't really, I should have probably watched it, but I didn't, I like her show and I like her. And I, you know, when she did the Oscars, I enjoyed it. And I like her as a comedian. I like her character. And part of it is she talks about it in her stand-up is because she's relatable. And this is her first special since 2003. So my wife and I watched it, and it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Ellen fans are going crazy over it, but it's one of those that I recommend just because I like a good stand-up show. And believe me, Netflix got a lot. PBS dropped The Farthest Voyager in Space. As you might guess, it's a documentary about Voyager, which was launched in 1977. Two space probes, and they are the farthest man-made objects currently speeding away from Earth. And I get chills when I think about it. It just weirds me out, you know, that it's way out there. These are the two that had the big golden records that will probably outlast the spacecraft, probably outlast the Earth because they're made that well. And it's a, you know me, I love a good documentary because this one talks about how they made the craft, how they put it together, getting it launched. Even the famous one where they got it to turn around, take one last shot as it was leaving the solar system. And I forget what they said. Another 200 years, it reaches the Oort cloud, which is actually the last boundary of the solar system. That's where the solar winds from our sun stop having any pressure on it. And then it goes out into space to return in 100 years as V'ger. But getting ahead of myself. I raved about a book called Command and Control, which is a very harrowing, sobering tale of chronicling a 1980 Titan II missile accident. And there's a documentary on it as well. And I watched it, and it's very sobering. It weighs the balance of power and safety involving weapons, especially dealing mass destruction, atomic and hydrogen bombs. And one of the things that they didn't cover so much in the documentary, but in the book is, and I've raved about this before, it's, pardon me, fucking amazing we're still here. What we don't realize is during the 50s, 60s, and 70s, the response the United States would have had to Soviet aggression would have been all-out war.
Yeah.
We did not have, I mean, we're talking nuclear, you know what I mean. And as I'm sitting, you know, one of the, you know, I watch the news because, I don't know, I like to have my heart race every so often. But one of the things that just dropped recently is there was kind of a two-prong thing. First of all, they're talking about how trillions of dollars are not accounted for in the Pentagon that have gone in, our taxpayer dollars gone in, and nobody knows where they went or where they've come from. Yet, we're also getting reports from generals saying, you know, if we ever get in a war with China and or Russia, United States may not be able to win it. And their response, we need more money. And those two things just kind of short-circuited me. And I'm going to leave from there because, you know, I don't want this to be a big rant about this. But this is kind of stuff that I studied in college. When I majored in political science, it was in superpower relations. And it's kind of like everything that I learned back then, which I thought was irrelevant, is still relevant. And it was just kind of I think that was probably the most sobering I got during my drug-induced haze of the last month. I did pick up on a couple other movies, and some of these, Corey, I imagine you've seen, Logan's Run. My brain just shut off. And I'm not even on drugs right now. That was the fantasy action movie, 1976, one of the first ones I ever seen. Michael York, Jenny Agutter, Richard Jordan. And it basically, in the year 2274, young residents enjoy an idyllic, hedonistic lifestyle within the protective confines of a dome city. But when you turn 30, you're reincarnated for a blissful life. However, Logan discovers that's not true, and he takes a run. It holds up pretty good. I mean, the special effects are kind of cringeworthy, but even to this day, I could see people dressing up as Sandman from the movie. Very simple outfit. And, of course, the gun, which is neat, shoots out some type of blue gas. So when you shoot it, it goes all four ways. It's not as cool as what I wanted for Christmas. I don't know if you saw, there was like it's like a super soaker, Corey. It's about that size. You put toilet paper on it, water, and it shoots spitballs. I mean, $20 in the store. It was going like $50 on eBay, but I looked high and low, could not find it. I'm still looking though. So another one I saw, and Corey, let me know if you've seen it. The original Westworld.
Yes, I actually saw it recently. Now, the thing with Logan's Run that I want to point out, that was an adaptation of a novel, and there are two sequels to the novel. And yeah. I don't know if they're even still in print, but I remember reading them in high school. And it was, well, in the book, it was you were reborn at 21.
And the other thing, too, is it was the whole world.
Yes.
Was that one.
Yep.
Which is fun because part of the action sequence takes place at Crazy Horse Monument. So every time I visited it, I keep thinking, maybe I should take it out now. Logan's
Run. We're all too old anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just looking online and I've got, I see some comic adaptation, but I don't see any books. And then there was Logan's Run, Logan's Search. And what was the third
Logan's
one?
Logan's World.
Logan's World. And I either have them or had them, and I too read the living bejesus out of them. Way different than the movie, but a lot more fun. And if they ever came back with a Logan's Run series, this is how they should do it. Because I haven't seen the Westworld TV show. I have seen, like I said, the Westworld movie, which is from 1973. It's from Michael Crittenden. Is it a movie or was it a book he adapted?
No, I believe it was a movie. They did a sequel called Future World, which I have been looking for streaming, and I can't find it anywhere streaming.
It wasn't that good. It wasn't. I mean,
there was also a TV series in 1980. Six episodes were made, but I guess only three were aired. And I have actually found that on one of the streaming services on my Roku. And I'm tempted to watch it because I hear it's just awful. It's just unbelievably awful.
Sure, why not?
And you know me. I like me some shitty bad science
fiction. Oh, yeah. And Westworld was kind of fun. What I remember from Westworld is one of those movies I caught, and Yul Brynner scared the living shit out of me as a kid. Oh, man. This movie was made for me for a kid because I just – and it holds up pretty good. Like Logan's Run, it's only about a minute or an hour 30 or so. Kind of short because that's the way they were at the time. Yul Brynner's in it, Richard Benjamin, James Brolin. Alan Oppenheimer, I mentioned him because he was the original crazy guy in $6 Million Man. That was a case of one of those where they replaced him. And they got a different actor to play the same character. And, of course, the other one that I was pleasantly pleased, and I totally blanked on, Majel Barrett was in it from Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
She showed up in it. Dick Van Patten's in it. You know, again, just early movies. As I'm getting older, you know, whether it's a current movie, TV show, or an early one, just to see the actors in different roles. And it just reminds me, it's called acting, folks. It's a lot of fun. Not everything comes to mind. The next movie I will talk about, and it has a very painful personal story to go with it. I rewatched Popeye from 1980, directed by Robert Altman, Robin Williams, Shelley Duvall, Ray Watson, Walston, sorry. Very beautiful, very true to the original source material. Painful to watch.
Really? Because I watched it about a year ago.
I don't. I guess I just don't like.
I was at the group home, and it was showing, and it was like I couldn't see it all, so I bought the DVD, and I watched it, and it's like, oh, this is exactly like I remember. I love this movie so much.
See, I guess for me, what I don't like about it is, and maybe I'm missing the point of the Popeye thing, but I mean, Popeye gets his ass handed to him by Bluto the entire movie, and then when he finally gets he gets one hit on Bluto, and that's the last we see of it. And I've been thinking about that because when I saw this in the theater, I mean, I remember absolutely loving it. And this is probably why I don't like it as much as I used to, because at the time I was dating, again, this was high school, so put on your high school caps. I was dating a young girl that I really, really wanted to impress. And this was our first date. And she didn't like it, and I was devastated. Because I wanted my first date with her to be absolutely stunning. And things just fell apart from there. The relationship, mostly as I look back, I was just too young to be dealing with feelings that way. Because, I mean, this was really the first woman slash girl I ever felt love for. I mean, it was always, you know, puppy love and dating love and, hey, I'm dating or, you know, falling in love. And it ended up in heartbreak. Later, this is just the beginning of it, and it just gets uglier as time goes on. But I probably should have just gone with the yeah, this ain't gonna work out. She didn't like it. I did. I'm gonna have to move on. Don't worry. I have since face stalked her and seen her on Facebook. Haven't sent her a note. I just wanted to see how she's doing. Did not, and I haven't returned since. He's large.
So large.
He needs me. I need her. And he does. So, again, maybe, you know, I do have it in my collection. So, you know, but when I watch it, oh, it's just beautiful. I mean, people don't realize just how many characters are in Popeye. You know, a lot of us probably just think it was a Filmation did the quick short cartoons that was always on.
Well, there were the ones by, what was it? Who's the Max Fleischer?
Fleischer?
And in the ones, remember, that's where Kirby got his start.
Oh, see, everything comes back to comics somehow.
He was what they called an in-betweener. The main animator would draw, you know, the stuff, and he would draw the stuff between, you know, to move the character from this position to this position, which is how he learned, in a lot of ways, how to show motion in his art. Because there he is. It's like a factory. You know, the main animator's doing this. All right, you need to draw the four cells that go from this to this. Okay, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. And there you didn't have much time to learn, and you had to do speed. And that's why Kirby was so fast at drawing when he got into it. It was, faster, and, you know, kind of a factory setup. And that was his first art job. Then I don't remember, it was AAP who took over after Fleischer went under. And then, you know, Popeye bounced around a lot. But the movie itself is based on Thimble Theater, which was the comic strip. Not the cartoon.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, I think that's why the movie failed. Because people don't have a frame of reference for the comic strip, especially at that time, because the cartoon had sort of overwhelmed everything.
Yeah.
Whereas Altman...
That was Fleischer Studios.
Yeah.
That did a lot of those shorts. And I think it suffered the same thing as any Oz... like Return to Oz or Sequel Will, because the Wizard of Oz with Judy Garland is so ingrained in everybody's memory. Anything that comes after, I mean, Oz is a complete wonderful world with so much more in it. Even the original book has more to it. But for me, yeah, I if you've never seen it, it's probably worth picking it up. You could probably stream it or find a cheap copy, because Robin Williams and Shelley Duvall just nailed it. And it's fun. As like Robert Altman does, you probably have to turn it up and listen, because there's a lot of talking going on everywhere, as Altman's want to do, as people over-talk in character. I even want to talk like the original Popeye cartoons that were in the theater when growing up, we used to have on our independent channel, just they would run cartoons for like an hour every afternoon. I'd come home and you'd see MGM, Tom and Jerry. You'd see the Popeyes. You'd seen Barney Bear, Woody Woodpecker. And I always loved the Popeye ones because they did what my sister and I would call backtalk. And most cartoons, as you animated fans know, you drop the soundtrack and then they animate to it. Well, in this case, in the old ones, they had all this drawn and the actors would talk to the animation. So that's why a lot of times you never saw Popeye's mouth moving or Pluto's mouth moving. And they're like, talking, oh, so you think you're pretty big, huh? And then when they did move, yes, it's time to fight or whatever. And we just enjoyed it. We called it back talk, and no other animation did it that way, as far as I know. It just made those particular cartoons so much extra fun. But the movie has a bad memory for me, so maybe that taints me. It does have a 5.2 out of 10, so it's not everybody's cup of tea, but it's worth checking. That was pretty much for the movies. After that, I just watched a ton of television. A lot of it were like the documentaries. I mean, every day I look on the 5 PBS channels we have and look for a documentary. It could be like Frontline dealing with the Facebook dilemma. They had a two-parter on that one. Or it could be somebody traveling rails across the country. One show I remember where a guy, he traveled across Cuba's rail system, or at least what's left of it, if it runs. So just fun stuff like that. I remember one where for the first time they flew drones down the Grand Canyon into parts of canyons that most people can't get to because they're either inaccessible or they're just not part of the main route. Or they could be on reservation land, so you need special permission. Just tons of things like that. And despite me looking at a lot of these programs, I'm at about like 25%. I got only 25% left on my DVR. Because for every two I disappear. I did watch a Neil Diamond concert. As you know, when PBS comes around, they always, oh, look at it. Here's the Garth Brooks one. I think that was NBC, though, but I got it. They're running Journey or all these other bands that I like. But then halfway through it, you know, they run their half-hour pledge break. So that's a good way to watch the concert and be able to cut through it but it does take up a lot of space. There were a few things that I did pick up otherwise. Corey, do you watch any of the CW?
I should, but I have not. It's one of those where, you know I'd like The Flash and Arrow and all those, but I don't have time to watch the stuff I want to watch now.
Yeah. As you notice, there's nothing so far on my list and will be like on the Marvel Netflix ones because I've been wanting to get up to date on that, but I didn't. I did record, however, the Elseworlds crossover with Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl. And, oh, it was awesome. And I think they're online somewhere. I know Netflix has a lot of them. If not, they're going to have them. But essentially, and this ain't really giving away much because we're all comic geeks. So a lot of these references we'll catch. But, I mean, what we would recognize as a monitor is going through different worlds, and the first world he visits happens to be the one where John Wesley Snipes is the 1990 Flash. And needless to say, that world didn't survive. Unfortunately, I stupidly erased the first part because as they're panning across to see Flash's final showdown, there's a lot of people dead in costume, and I didn't catch half of them. I'm sure you could probably Google it and figure out who they are. And then, it goes through 3, Flash, Arrow, Supergirl. Superman's in it. It was just a tremendous crossover with the Elseworlds theme. There was a third series, and I believe it's called DC Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes.
It was not part of the crossover, but they refer to it because as the heroes are sending out, hey, we need help, the characters on the Tomorrow show Hey, we just got word. Sounds like these guys need help. Sounds like the annual crossover. Now I think we'll pass this year. John Wesley Snipes as Flash shows up a little later. Brainiac shows up from Supergirl, Martian Manhunter. We're introduced to Batwoman, which, knock on wood, will become another CW show. There's they get to Gotham. There's reference to Bruce Wayne got up and left at the same time Batman disappeared. Hasn't been seen in years. And when you go to see where Batwoman is, they have that Shakespearean head from the original Batman, you know, when they tilt over to open up the... Oh, my God, did I pop? And my wife's like, what's your problem? So it's geeky Easter eggs like that. And it also has a budding... Well, let's see. We call them bromance. We call it a gromance between Batwoman and Supergirl. So hopefully that pans out. And I had a geek moment that I haven't had since the end of the first Avengers movie when we saw Thanos as a spoiler. And, Corey, you probably heard about it, but when you got to the end of the Elseworlds and everybody goes back to their own Earths, they said, coming 2019, Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yep.
It was the logo, and I had a freak out. And again, my mind just raced. Just think of all the different DC properties that you could throw into a mix like that. This is going to be the event for CW TV, and I am looking forward to it. I don't know if I'll watch Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, because when I get back to work, I don't have time to watch the things I really want to. But you know damn well, when I hear this is coming, I will set up the DVR to record these. Because it was a lot of fun. I had Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl all lined up, and to go from one to the next in a binge manner was just fabulous, because to have to wait. Plus, you know, anytime you bring in like the Flash TV show from the 90s, I mean, you got my attention right there. I just love those type of Easter eggs. So, I probably should have thrown out an Easter egg, but by now, if you're not watching it, you've probably heard about it, and you probably... if you're not watching these, definitely keep an eye next year, because that'll be fun. I did start binging on a show briefly. Corey, have you heard of Adam Ruins Everything?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, it's on True TV. The first season's on Netflix. Comic Adam Conover? He basically, I guess he was on College Humor? And he brings his series to TV, expanding upon his efforts to poke fun at everything. I'll give you one example. Corey, you know why the United States has such a thing about masturbating? Why it's taboo? Why you shouldn't do it? Why you'll go blind, grow hair on your knuckles, and cause the downfall of civilization as you know it?
Probably because of our puritanical founders.
Actually, it's a little bit sooner than that. It's because of... Dr. Kellogg of Corn Flakes.
Oh, fame. Yes. He was very weird on that, too.
Oh, he hated it. He advocated circumcision. He just was such a puritanical guy. And it just goes to show the power of a single white guy to pollute an entire society, because United States is really the only society outside of religious reasons that likes to circumcise their guys. And they make masturbation such a big taboo. You got it. And again, he ruins everything. I don't think I'll ever watch a reality show, because he talks about Adam Ruins Hollywood. And after watching it, you're like, you know, reality shows are bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Award shows are bullshit. I mean, and he is what's weird about this is the same thing about The Good Place, because I know The Good Place just finished season 4 on NBC.
No,
there's
it didn't.
Oh, it didn't?
No, there's still like 3 more episodes.
Doesn't matter. I watched the
first
2 seasons.
Three.
On Netflix.
You watched
season
the first 2.
Yeah, season 3 is not on Netflix. Same thing with Adam Ruins Everything. He's got 3 seasons. The first season's on Netflix. And of course, if I want, I can go pay per episode or buy the season. And I'm like, you know what? I'll wait. Because we did finish The Good Place. You know, we talked about how I was really freaked out at the end of season one. We launched into season two, and then we're like, oh. And they were like, well, we're not going to watch it on NBC because we haven't seen season three yet. Unless I can rent it online or something, I probably will wait till it drops on Netflix, which is fine.
There are a couple things I want to point out because you talked about how reality shows are bullshit. We talked about that a few times in the past of this show, like with Comic Book Men, when people are bringing in all these great things.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what they did, they'd advertise and say, you know, come on down, you know, to the shop on this and such day, et cetera, et cetera. Or back when Bubba the Love Sponge was on Sirius Satellite Radio, he and Hulk Hogan were real tight. And no, we're not going to get into the how tight they were, but just Google Hulk Hogan sex tape. And there was one time Hogan called in, did not know he was on the air. Bubba had him on the air, and he said, all right, Bubba, I need you to come over. What we're going to do, we're filming today, and we're going to be me and Brian Knobs and a couple other people. We're going to be sitting around, and then we're going to say, oh, why don't we play tennis? And then Brian's going to be, you know, clumsy and all this, and I'm going to get mad at him because we're going to lose. And that's the episode we're going to film.
Yeah, and they even point out things that just make sense. You're not going to have a camera on somebody like the Truman Show 24/7 in your face. You just can't do it. We've even talked about that. One of the genesis of this show is that, hey, you know, we get together, we have some good comic talks, let's record it. And then we found out, well, a lot of times when we're recording, we will talk differently or have brain farts differently than if we're just sitting down talking. It's really too bad our Black Friday recording didn't take, because we had some really epic conversations about things that would make, you know, that would be a show in and of itself. But it just doesn't work when you know you're being recorded.
Well, and the other thing is, with reality shows, there's an article in The New Yorker from one of the producers on The Apprentice. And they said that they would film stuff. And then they'd go into the boardroom where Trump would decide who was fired. And he would just wing it because he hadn't been paying attention. And they would have to go back and re-edit everything to make the point that Trump made. And in a couple of cases, even film new sequences because Trump would make up stuff that didn't happen. So it's like, okay, I guess we need to film a scene where this happens. So let's go do that. And the difference between, because everybody says, oh, you know, me and my friends sitting around talking, that'll be a great podcast. It's not, because when you're sitting around talking with your friends, you don't introduce yourself. You don't introduce the topic. you've got a shorthand. When I started writing, my first creative writing teacher, she was terrible. Terrible. And I would say, I'm having trouble with dialogue. And she would go, well, just sit and listen to people and write what they say. And I did. And when you just write what people say, it doesn't make any sense at all, because so much of what we say is visual. You know, hand gestures, eye rolls, facial expression, all of that. You can't get that across in a purely audio environment. So when you and I are talking in our car, it's very different. We'll have no problem just, oh, look at that. Oh, see, yeah. But if you're doing it on a podcast, it gives you a headache. Because back when everybody was doing comic book podcasts, I listened to some, and there were some where it was, you know, hey, we get together and talk comics at the shop. And it was incoherent. It was basically inside jokes for friends.
Yeah.
And you can't do that in a podcast. One of the things, you and I have inside jokes on the podcast, but we've built that up over time so that listeners who've been with us for a long time know the reference. They know what we're referring to. It's like on a sitcom, a character will say a catchphrase. And as it goes on, the catchphrase itself becomes funny because you've got all the history leading up to it. So we've been doing it this for an hour, Joe.
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually,
did you binge watch any TV series?
The grand finale, the one that's been catching my attention, I started watching it and I just stayed with it. I have been binge watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Oh,
I hit and miss
to go
it.
Back in that.
Oh, I hit and miss when it first came out because, again, I was working. I mean, if I knew, oh, Q's going to be in an episode, I watched that. I did see the Tribbles one. Occasionally, I'd hear something. Like, I watched the last episode, and I was kind of like, I kind of know what's going on. When I was on a deployment a while back, I talked about how I went through and using Star Trek Memory Alpha, or it's a memory-alpha.wiki.com. You just look it up. You'll find it. It's one of the first two Google things. I would go in and see, does this episode have to do with the Dominion? Does this have to do with the Dominion? Because when the Dominion was first introduced, it was in a fairly comical episode where I think it's Rule of Acquisitions in the second season, and it was a Ferengi one where they're just kind of goofing around. And it's the first time they drop the Dominion because these guys are in the Gamma Quadrant and who they're dealing with reports to the Dominion. But because the episode was kind of comedic, it didn't really – it's like now I watch it and go, oh. And they continue to do that until we discover in season three, The Adversary, exactly – well, we discover who the Jem'Hadar are at the end of season two. So what I've been doing is I'm just going from one through. And it's a lot of fun when you're going through these episodes because then you spot actors like, oh, Chris from Princess Bride. What's his name? Sarandon?
He plays Sarandon. Yeah.
Sarandon. He's in one of those. And you're like, oh, he's cool. And then there's one that I just watched recently where they're trapped. It's almost I've got all these episodes up. And let's see if I can figure out the name of it. Starship Down was the name of it. And it's out of the fourth season. And you might remember because it plays a lot like a submarine movie. Because the Defiant gets torpedoed by Jem'Hadar. And they end up sinking into a gas giant. And the phasers, photons don't work. So they basically... Then this is what got me thinking, oh, this is a lot like a submarine movie because then they take their probes, put photons on the end of it, and they get ready when the Jem'Hadar show up, they're going to launch them at that. Meantime, they're trying to save a vessel and the people on it. James Cromwell's in it, and my wife recognized it because she's watching it kind of half out of her eye, and she says, isn't that James Cromwell? And he's under all the typical Star Trek makeup. And yeah, it was him. So just fun things like that. Sometimes it's just more of a minor actor. Star Trek Next Generation had the when Riker went over to the Klingon ship in a swap of officers, he befriended a certain Klingon officer. Same actor was the bounty hunter on X-Files. He has a part in Profit and Loss, and I recognize him mostly because of his voice. I actually met him at the Seoul San Diego Comic-Con you and I went to. I actually got to talk to him a little bit about the nature of acting in that. Because I told him I really liked that character on Next Gen. I said, he goes, yeah, it'd be nice if they'd come back to it. But Star Trek doesn't really do that too often. There is, of course, I'm enjoying the heck out of Deep Space Nine. It's a very different, much more pessimistic. I shouldn't say pessimistic, but darker than more Star Trek. They basically kind of really push against Gene Roddenberry's Utopia, Federation, everything's good. I mean, I'm up to season... Where am I? I made it to season four. I just did the one Paradise Lost / Crossfire where Sisko gets recalled to Earth and it's actually Starfleet trying to make a coup against the Federation government. Under the guise that, well, we have to protect ourselves from the Dominion because they're here on Earth. My favorite scene that I remember from watching it when I was doing it on the road, one of the founders comes up as Cole Meany's character, O'Brien, and just, Andy, I just want to talk to you. Hey, you know what's funny? There's only four of us on Earth, and you guys are bending yourself backwards. So, anyways, just a chilling episode. I could not see that happening in any other Star Trek series. So it's just kind of fun to watch. Part of me as I'm watching this is thinking, okay, you know, you got this really serious episode, Jem'Hadar, but Paramount decided they didn't want cliffhangers for Deep Space Nine, which is why the end of most seasons end on like a big episode, Jem'Hadar. And then the next season is The Search, where Sisko takes the Defiant, first time we see it, into the Gamma Quadrant looking for the Dominion. Sure, it ties into the last season, but it's not a direct, certainly not like Best of Both Worlds on Next Gen, right, where it's like, and they do that constantly. And I think of that as they go through the series and they do this. Part of me is thinking as I'm watching this, the stupid, stupid fight between the people, oh, Deep Space Nine and, oh, Babylon 5, how, oh, they're both copying each other, one's better than the other, blah, blah, blah. And I remember talking with somebody about this, and they said, yeah, it's kind of a fandom snobbery where I have to like one as opposed to the other.
Yep.
And to me, these are so totally separate shows. I'm kind of like, hey, why don't they make another space station type show? Because Deep Space Nine is, it's Star Trek, mainly because they have these super deep episodes, and then they go into something that's totally Star Trek, has nothing to do with the main Dominion plot. But Deep Space Nine always seems to, I mean, Deep Space, or I should say Babylon 5, is really probably closer to the way mankind would have a space station. You know, especially when you're down below. You get to the space station, you're stuck. You can't get out. You're going to go live in the slums of the space station. One is not better than the other. Matter of fact, actors crossed over from the series. I remember seeing Patricia Tallman as a quick, we're being shot at. And then, of course, because she's a stunt woman, her station blows up and she ends up on the floor of the Defiant. And we all know Majel Barrett ends up going over to Babylon 5 kind of as, hey, you know, we're in competition, but we're not fighting each other. The last thing I want to say about Deep Space Nine, and this is probably takes back what I said about you have these big serious Dominion episodes, and then you have one like House of Quark, where Quark ends up accidentally defeating a drunk Klingon, tells the big tale of it, and then ends up going to, how do you say it? The Klingon homeworld?
Oh, I can't pronounce that.
I can't. Oh, Kwonos. Kwonos, that's how it's pronounced. And he goes to defend the house of the wife whose honor he besmirched. And it's sort of a light comedic episode, but it's fun to see these characters out of character. It's called acting. You know, one of the things I do is after I watch a series, I go to the Memory Alpha, and then I read some of the notes behind it, which is kind of neat because they cover not only the quotes, which are fun, but they give you the story and script, the production, how people received to it, some of the trivia about it, especially when they like, they reuse the scenes of the Great Hall from the Next Gen. This is something like the one I talked about, the House of Quarks, the only episode where Garron appears alone without Worf. Every other episode he appears. The last one I watched, and before I start binging again, is it was before the ones I just talked about. It's called Our Man Bashir, where through a ever-present transporter accident, they download everybody's of the main characters into the station's computer because the transporter is dead. And if they don't get their pattern locked, they will disintegrate and die. It's not outside of the realm of Star Trek. That's how we got Scotty in the Deep Space Nine episode. Problem is, the only thing big enough to hold their body is the holosuite, which at the time, Bashir is running kind of his version of James Bond, which is really fun because you get to see him and the actor that does Garak play together. But of course, Cisco, Kira, Worf, Dax, and O'Brien show up in this totally removed from their character. Kira plays the really bad Russian accent femme fatale that is going to work with Bashir. Cisco plays the evil overlord that is going to use 74 lasers to destroy the Earth, melt everything, and repopulate the planet from Mount Everest, which will be the only island left. Worf is the guy he plays poker against. Dax is the femme fatale scientist who mistakenly turns, and O'Brien, of course, is the eye-patched adversary that's always out to kill Bashir, which is why I thought it was funny you said about the eye patch earlier in the show. But what's cool about these episodes is it gives the actors time to break out and have fun outside their character. And it just, I'm enjoying these more and more, not because I necessarily like the fact, okay, you got this serious Dominion storyline, you're kind of doing a little light, but it's just fun to watch these actors cut loose and enjoy themselves. There's also a lot of people that over and over, they just are really talking a lot about how Combs, Colm Meaney, that plays O'Brien, how much of a, they love him as an actor. And anytime they can give him a scene to just cut loose, they just love getting into it because he hit it home. It really, the Miles O'Brien character is kind of limiting, but they also allowed him to spread his wings, so to speak, on these shows. So I guess I'm finding a new appreciation for it. And as you can see, I've just been, that's the show that for the last couple of weeks I've been binging on. Usually I start up about 9 o'clock. I get a couple episodes in. And I'm telling you, for my money, you really need to have a Mourn Star Trek show. And it could happen because they're bringing back Captain Picard in his own show. So I want Mourn.
I'd be happy if they just got back to putting out novels.
Yeah, that would be fun. Because they did. What's neat, and I saw this on our favorite listing site, Comic Book Resources, they did a list of the 20 things you should know about Star Trek, how it continued afterwards. And I've babbled on about these on other podcasts. So I'm not going to get into it. But just a lot of fun. And I've enjoyed it. But that's not the show I woke up with. And I'm going to save that for the next podcast.
Oh, well, that's good, because we're over an hour and 16 minutes into this one, and we have...
Well, fair. I've been gone for 4 weeks. I got a lot to talk. I didn't even get a chance to ask how your Christmas went.
We've got to do ads.
Well, like which ones?
The Solitaire Rose Podcast Network has ads, and our ads are, first, for the best web host in the whole known universe, go to DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best, bar none, web host in the whole known universe, and we have been using it since 1999, so we're old. But also, if you need a web host, just head on over and use the code KRAYZ and get $20 off your first year. And when you're at work or you're at home, do you really want to eat those unhealthy snacks? Another bag of chips from the vending machine? No, you want to go over to graze.com and get healthy snacks sent to you automatically with a subscription, or you can order whatever snacks you like. Just go to graze.com. Your first and fifth box are free if you use the code CORYS3R5B. That's CORYS3R5B. Free snacks, healthy snacks, and the best way to keep away from the vending machine. If you would like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories or any of the other podcasts, you can just send an email to solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject to advertising. Thanks.
And we've got to talk about the other podcasts I do.
Well, which ones?
The Solitaire Rose Podcast Network is filled with all kinds of audio goodness. First, there's Crazy Comics and Stories. It's been going since 2010, it drops every Monday, and it has me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard, and Joe Crazy Writer, talking comics, shenanigans, and whatever we're freaking and geeking about every Monday morning. It's been going since 2010, and it's available at crazycomics.solitairerose.com. Also on that same feed is the Solitaire Rose podcast, which is me, again, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard, doing interviews, talking about comics, talking about comics history, pretty much talking about whatever I want to talk about. We've also got Solo Joe, where Joe Crazy Rider does a solo podcast, and he hasn't done one in a while, so kick him in the shins to get him started. We also, on that same feed, have Solitaire Rose Series and Review, where we do DVD commentary of older comic book series. That's all at crazycomics.solitairerose.com. I also do a podcast with Wolfie B. Bad at badadvice.solitairerose.com, where we take listener questions and give them bad advice. There's also Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's at novels.solitairerose.com. There's also Fantastic Forecast, where myself and Adam Vermillion are going through the entire run of the Fantastic Four, four issues at a time. That's fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com. And if you think that I'm on all of these podcasts, you're wrong. Because Scrabbling Across the West is at scrabbling.solitairerose.com, where musician Dave Coffell and his wife Stephanie travel across America and then sitting down to play Scrabble and talk about the day. That's at Scrabbling Across the West, scrabbling.solitairerose.com. There are always more podcasts at the Solitaire Rose Podcast Network. Be there. Aloha.
And we have to ask what's going on the eBays.
And I think I sent Corey a note, and I haven't got a chance to listen to the shows I was gone, but within a week, I was able to walk up and down the steps okay, so I reactivated my eBays. I haven't put a lot on. I have kind of shuffled and repriced things, and of course, I'll be getting more and more on the eBays as the new year starts. I did, of course, find, we were talking how I misplaced my Edge of Spider-Verse number 2, the first highly sought after appearance of Spider-Gwen. And she was named, I think, Spider-Woman in that first appearance, and now she's Spider-Gwen. But I did find it, and as I did with my the Spider-Man book with the Captain Marvel in it, or the 75th Marvel anniversary that had the last Stan Lee story, or the first Stan Lee story, the last one published before his death, you know, because he's all boomed up overnight for some reason. I put them on the eBays. I put them a little bit below what everybody else is asking, and I always put up the make an offer. And I did accept the offers that were given. And, of course, you as a listener, you have the advantage. If you see something you're interested in, if I have not put that make an offer deal, send me an email. Contact me through eBay. Tell me you listen to the show. And not only will I cut you a deal, I might do something nice, like maybe give you free shipping. Maybe toss in something extra special, like I reach over here and I have a 25th anniversary MCBA pin, highly sought collectible that's probably not available anymore. Or maybe I'll give you this the copy of Mel. You remember what Mel is, Corey?
No, I do not. Was that the story of Mel who owned a diner that Alice worked in?
No, but that is the one where Rick Marshall ended up in, I believe, as a stripper. But
well,
that's
kiss
how,
my know. Grits.
No, this is the bathroom reader that comes in every box of from the Dollar Shave Club. It's so I got issue number 15, and it's not red. So if you buy something now, I'll give it to you not red.
It's
next
near
week,
mint.
I will have read it because, as I mentioned earlier, one of the pills I'm taking is for constipation. So yeah, believe me, I visit quite a bit. KRAYZ, it's up and running. Like I said, I'll have new stuff on when I can, and I'm going to be dealing on the old stuff.
Well, now that Joe's told us about the eBay and got us all caught up on his stuff, we could talk about my favorite part of the show. No, not where I try to interrupt with facts. No, it's what's freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
Well, I felt bad because I didn't attribute a quote to somebody when I put it on my Facebook page.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, usually what I do is when I put something as a status on my Facebook page from somebody else, is I put it in quotation marks and then usually attribute it. Unfortunately, I didn't do it And I don't know why. I mean, I was in my oxycodone high. It was the first time I was on Facebook in a while, and I was having a tough time dealing with the weird pain of going to a 90-degree angle sitting. And not only did I miss, or I put the quote on, but then the person who wrote the quote, an esteemed science fiction writer, put it in my comment, it'd be nice of you to attribute the quote to the author. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of on, I mean, we're on the, in my mind, a fringe of the geek universe, and this person's in the middle of it. And someone that I've admired, in my brain went, oh. So I just sent him a note saying, I apologize. I've put your name on the quote. I won't do it again. And he said, thank you.
And there you go.
And there we go. So if it ever happens to you, just be gracious. I didn't offer excuses. I just, you know, like I say, hey, I just got off my hip. I'm on oxycodone. I could barely stand upright. I was trying to put your name in it so it didn't do that annoying, you know, I linked you to it, because I figured he's, you know, doesn't need everybody linking his name all the time. What the fuck? The government shut down. How the hell am I supposed to get back to work? I mean,
well, you could go back to work, all right.
No, here, let me explain it. Okay, here's how it works. Okay, first of all, I'm tired of the argument, it's both sides are at fault. Yeah, fine, but then when I look at your Facebook feed, you basically are one side or the other.
Well,
don't be the both sides are doing it argument if you're one side or the other. Own your side. Don't be, that to me is a coward's way out.
And
yes, both sides do it. That's called whataboutism. I'm fairly aware of that, which is why my political posts have really dropped a lot, because yeah, for every time, this side did this, I go back just a little bit. Yeah, it's kind of outrageous, but I guess it was done when the other side had the power too. You know,
the other thing also about this shutdown that I want to point out that seems to be completely tossed out the window, everybody agreed on things. They sent the bill to Trump. Trump sat down, watched Fox News, and the people on Fox News called him stupid because he accepted the deal. The next day, he said, I'm not signing it.
And that's, I've been saying this a couple times this podcast. That's a fucking fact. I don't care what side you roll, it happens. And it's not unprecedented. The CIA would plant stories in Newsweek, Time magazine when Reagan was in office, because they knew Reagan didn't read the briefings that presidents get every day. That was a big change from Jimmy Carter, who read every single word they sent him. They have to get the word to somehow they have to get the word to the president what they're doing. And that's how they did it. This president, he gets his cue from Fox and Friends. Good, bad, and different, don't care, but that's a fact. That's the way he operates. And what drives me crazy is when people just, they won't acknowledge that. That's not what happened, blah, blah, blah. You know, support the side that's, this is another one that bugs me. And it's from a lot of friends. You're supporting the side that's screwing you. I'm left. I supported Obama, but I did not support him on the the act that made domestic spying cool.
Yeah. Well, the Patriot Act has allowed that.
Patriot Act. That was it. He renewed it. Totally against it. But by God, nobody can say nothing negative about the current president. I mean, it's like we're all in little cult camps. And there was something he did a while back, and I don't have time to dig it up on the Facebook feed. I put it on there. I said, listen, when he does right, I will tell him. But I think I'm getting more like you, Corey. It's just not worth it because we're too polarized. The people in the middle are being drowned out. You're either hardcore right, hardcore left. And if you're not there, you're wrong. And it's just, I don't know. It's ugly is what it is. I think at the national level, nothing's ever going to get done. Stick with state and local, because that's where the action's at. Now, how that ties into the WTF shutdown, as I crack my fingers, the guys who will process the paperwork for me to say, okay, I can go back to work, are non-essential and are out not working.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
I don't know how. I'm still a month away. Well, let's see. This was dropping on the 31st. Yeah, I'm about 2-3 weeks away from calling my supervisor and my managers, who I believe are essential and still working, not senior managers, and say, hey, I got the okay to come back. I'll be on light duty. And well, I don't know if I'll be on light duty or not. I guess it depends on where I'm in 3 weeks. But I'll be going back to work part-time. So instead of doing my full 10-hour, I'll do 5 and leave without pay in the meantime. But again, the guys who will process my paperwork aren't there. Not that it matters, even like you said, I'm going to go, I'm not going to get paid, and then I will get lump paid. Hopefully this is all settled before it gets there. I'm not counting on it. So in the meantime, I guess I will be reading some of these omnibuses, because I sure as hell ain't going to be buying new comics. And I'll be looking at Roku a lot, although I do have one beef with Roku, and I've been online looking at different things, and none of it seems to help. Every time I download a brand new channel on my Roku, I start watching it, and it freezes. It's like I downloaded a channel because it had Whose Line Is It Anyway on it, and we start watching it, and about 10 seconds in, the picture freezes, and the entire the volume continues. So stop, rewind, goes again, goes another 10, it goes past the section that was bad and then goes another 10 seconds, freeze frames. And it's not just that show, it's done it on other ones. My wife's had the same problem. She's downloaded shows, they freeze. I go onto the interwebs, they're like, oh, well, you need to reset this. You need to reset your interwebs, which, as Corey can attest to, seems to do it randomly. You won't hear it, but it did happen while we were recording. And I just don't know what to do, except I've just stopped downloading new channels, which is, you know, probably fine, because, I mean, between Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, Amazon Prime, CW, and a few others that I have, a WWE Network, I probably don't need any new channels. But occasionally you get, like my wife is watching X-Files, and she just, I don't know where she's watching it, but it's one of those where they toss in the commercials.
Oh, probably. Probably Hulu.
Fortunately, they toss them in at the acquired commercial break. We were watching one, and it was one of those that froze up, so we dumped it, where we were watching it, all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere, a commercial drops. And then the show comes back, and it's like, okay, every 15 minutes, and then after the first hour, every 10 minutes, yeah, you had commercial, but there's no rhyme or reason or scene coherence. It just drops. And you're kind of like, well, you know, I'm getting it for free. And the other one that's weird is like, okay, the first time, 30-second commercial. Second time, 60-second commercial. By the time we got in the second hour, okay, 2 minutes of commercial. So, anyways, I if you got a Roku suggestion that I haven't tried, let me know. In the meantime, like I said, I've got plenty just with the Roku channels I've got. So, other than that, you know, health-wise, I'm doing okay, but That's a different subject. Corey, what are you freaking on? Other than I've been talking pretty much the entire episode.
Actually, I'm not freaking on that. It's actually been nice, because for the last month, I feel like I've been carrying the load.
And you are a load. I've always said that.
Load of what? We don't know. Let's see. I am not freaking on a whole lot. Box Day was delayed, but that's okay, because when we get to geeking, I'll explain why it's okay if Box Day is delayed because of the holiday. I've slept at work all but 3 nights in December, which, you know, hey, it means I absolutely have to get up on time, because I set my alarm on my phone for 5:45. And I can't hit snooze because we're down to two cottages now. Whichever cottage I'm in, at 10 till 6, somebody gets up and turns on the light in the living room and wants to watch TV. Whereas at home,
I can hit snooze and I can kind of relax and then I could go, oh crap, it's 6:30, I gotta get moving. Can't do that at the group home. They have said that, remember Joe, when they said that I would be, you know, on my new schedule and won't work weekends anymore starting on October, first week of October? First week of May.
Wow.
Yeah.
That might be when I go back to work.
And you've been talking about me getting surgery? Well, I called because they said we need to reschedule your surgical consult. I have now sent 5 emails and 7 phone calls, and no one has got back to me until I got a text message that said, hey, you have an appointment for Friday, January 4th.
January what?
No, I don't, and I need to reschedule. And still crickets. I'm giving them one more week to get back to me, and if they don't get back to me, there's another place here in town that does the same surgeries. I'm just going to give them a call and go, yeah, I'm having a lot of trouble getting a hold of Southwest Eye Clinic. Can you do my surgeries? So, comic-wise, there's really not a lot that I'm freaking about. Marvel and DC both ended the year doing okay in sales. Sales were up a little bit over last year. They're both positioning themselves very well to be putting out books outside the comic market. So the only thing I'm freaking on are the fans who look at the books that are doing very well outside the comic market and going, oh my God, it's the end of the world. No, it's not the end of the world. They've just realized that they're going to sell more books to the teenage girls who are going to the YA section at Target and Walmart and Barnes & Noble and Amazon and Scholastic Books, then they're going to be able to get more 50-year-olds to go to comic shops. Okay? Deal with it. You're old.
And if you don't believe it, go to your remodeled Targets because they've basically taken the book section and they have books over where they were, but near the toys and right next to the clothes, they have a huge section of young adults, young kids' books.
Yeah, that's where the money is. And that's what happened in the early 2000s. I can't tell you how many authors at the time, especially 2008, which was, I think it was called Black October, because that October, 2008, all sorts, the paperback original section of most books, book companies went dark. Next time you go to Target or Walmart, look at their where they have the paperback books. It used to be they would have a big section of paperback books, most of which, you know, published for the first time as paperbacks. Nope. 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 They've got trade paperbacks, which are more expensive, and reprints of hardcovers. The paperback originals, which is where a lot of people broke in, where a lot of genre fiction was published, it went dark. It went dead. And a lot of people working in that genre, you know, in genre fiction, said, well, I've gone back and re-edited my book to be a young adult novel. Why? Because that's all they're buying now. That's all the publishers are buying. What was the big movie that bombed for Christmas this year? About the cities, the floating cities.
Oh, I know you're talking
Mortal
about
Engines.
And it looked good.
Well, and it might have been good. But that was another young adult novel, and it's, okay, movies are like that. Well, you know, the Harry Potter were young adult novels, and the Hunger Games were young adult novels, and the Maze Runners were young adult novels. That genre is where the money is. So Marvel, DC, everybody else is going to that genre. Because that's what you do if you're a publisher. Joe, what are you geeking on?
I'm looking crazily for it, and I had a bookmark, but if you're into a Conan number one, there is a certain Conan number one that a photo cover.
Yes.
Conan the Barbarian on it.
With the Arnold.
And you can also get it signed and CGC signed, you know. And I don't, I had it booked, but look around for it. It the ad pops up on eBay every so, or not eBay, but Facebook every so often. It's $30, but as a photo cover, I think it's pretty cool. you know, and you know me, I liked photo covers. So I'm kind of looking forward to that one. Another place I check out daily is dynamicforces.com. They're a huge source of just signed books and special things. What I dig is their daily special. Like today, and of course by you hear it, it's going to be gone. They'll have something else. But today's special, as of the 30th of December, is a sensational Spider-Gwen Superset Sunday. So for the low price of $119, and I think it's a value, you get a Spider-Gwen number one first printing gold elite signature series from John Romita Sr., and he only did 25 of them. There's a Spider-Gwen number one first printing reader copy, the Scotty Young variant, the first printing comic exposure variant of number two, number three, same thing, number four, and number six, Women of Power variant. So if you haven't jumped online, it's a good way to go. They do number of sales every so often. So it's always fun just to jump online and to see what they've got and what they have on sale. They did some phenomenal sales during Black Friday, where like even like $100 signed books were cut low. So that's fun. Other than that, I'm getting better all the time. I mean, I'm really surprised the way this surgery went. It wasn't as painful as I thought. And again, you know, getting lung surgery when you're 17, 18, that was the only thing I had to go for. I talked to a lot of people who said, yeah, you'll be up and around, no problem, which is true. And, you know, I've just seemed to be I'm definitely pain-free. It's what they call a good pain. You know, your working muscle type pain versus the crippling pain I had during the last half of the year. So, and I think if I can go the entire year in order to get Christmas off next year, maybe I'll do it again. I'll get right after Thanksgiving. I gotta go look up on the calendar and see how that pans out. Corey, what are you geeking on?
Joe, there is a website. I sent you one of my purchases from there. We talk a lot about discount comic book service. There is another website I use for finding cheap graphic novels, and it's easy to find because it's cheapgraphicnovels.com. They've always had a bargain section, but this year, starting in about August, it looks like they decided they were going to clean out the warehouse. And they had a Black Friday sale that started way back, I think, July or August. It was just an all-year Black Friday sale. And they are blowing stuff out. Leading up to Christmas, about every 2 weeks, they would go, okay, we got a bunch of new listings here. And I would check the site and go to the new listings. I ended up this year ordering like four different boxes from them. The last one I ordered was they had the Marvel Essentials and DC Showcases were kind of the last thing they did. And they had a bunch of stuff that I've been seeing going online for much higher prices. For like $3.99, $4.99, $5.99. So I got it was the Sunday before Christmas. You know how Diamond has the big boxes that has two boxes inside them?
Mm-hmm.
I got two of those filled with Essentials and Showcases.
Yeah, and Corey sent it to me, and I went and I was like, oh, looks like they're all gone. But then as I was going through my list of the ones that I was missing, I was able to find at least I ended up with like six.
Yeah.
And I think they had the Wolverine one so cheap. I was like, you know what? I wasn't going to pick up the Wolverine Essentials, but what the hell?
That was my thing. Actually, it's like, you know, by this point, I no longer cared about the Wolverine regular series, but they're $3.99.
You know, and I wonder about this because I'm going crazy trying to finish my Essential collection. Or in the case of getting like Omnibus that covers it. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm almost like I want to get the books up to when I started as a regular reader, because I've been shedding things afterwards. Maybe I'll be complaining about it in about 10 years. You know, well, why did I get rid of that entire Hitch collection of Avengers? Oh yeah, because I got the omnibus. But it's like I want to get these early ones, because when I first started, and we're talking Amazing Spider-Man 178, I had the gumption I want to get all the Marvel comics, not counting Golden Age. And this is almost my way of doing it. I think between the Essentials and the Omnibus, with the exception of ones that probably can't be reprinted, and we've talked in past, you know, Marvel team up with Not Ready for Primetime Player, Marvel 2-in-1 with Doc Savage,
they've
ROM,
reprinted
Mike
those,
Knotts.
By the way. They're out on Marvel Unlimited.
Well, see, I want a physical copy, because I haven't gotten the online stuff yet. But yeah, if it's available online, and some of it, I'll probably read and go, oh my God, why did I spend money on it? Psst, that's where I get my eBay stuff from. it's just fun. And it's the same thing. I had to kind of plan accordingly, because as I was going to town, I had to cut my order back, because I'm like, okay, these are really good deals, but I also know the government's going to shut down. And I've got planned to not work up till mid-January. After that, it's going to be a little more difficult.
But so that was my Christmas present to myself, was these stacks and stacks and stacks of hardcovers and graphic novels and all that they were blowing out for like next to nothing. It was like, oh, look, here's the entire IDW Thunder Agent series. It was two graphic novels.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
$1.99 each.
And then, of course, Corey got a bunch that I didn't, so I don't know if I'm going to do that package napping stuff that, sit out front, here comes this box.
The next thing I am geeking on, football season the regular season will be over when this episode drops. This was my first year watching football again since...
Vikings aren't doing good. I'm going to go mourn.
Since the early 90s, and I've said in the past, one of my problems with the announcers is that they're so into their jargon that they don't really explain certain things. They don't, they'll say, well, this is the rule, but then they won't say, well, what's the difference between this rule and this rule? Like, why is this pass interference and this is holding? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But all in all, it's been fun watching football again. I just, I record them, I watch them later. There is something so wonderful about the fact that a football game that my DVR says is 4 hours long, and I'm able to finish it in 90 minutes, because so much of it is commercials.
Yeah.
And they're the same commercials. It's trucks, food, insurance, and trucks. And anyone who buys their spouse a vehicle for Christmas, you're either A, if you've got that much money laying around, why didn't you buy it before that? And two, if you're just buying it and starting the payments, congratulations, you gave your wife a $250 to $300 bill every month. I never understood the whole buying a car for Christmas. Comic-wise, I have embarked on two major journeys, Joe, through my omnibuses. I am reading Infinite Crisis.
Ooh.
Then when I complete the Infinite Crisis omnibus, which is 1,500 and some pages long, I will then go to the 52 omnibus. Then I will go to the Seven Soldiers omnibus, and then I will read the Final Crisis omnibus. I believe that this will take me the rest of my life. Over at Marvel, Annihilation was cool. The second Annihilation was cool. You want the War of the Kings? Well, that's three omnibuses. So there's the War of Kings Prelude, the War of Kings Omnibus, and the War of Kings Aftermath. Three omnibuses for that story. Jesus God. I also want to, I was very geeked that Mozique Chong sent me a Christmas present, although he did not have to. I got a couple of cards from listeners. I'm going to be sending out some thank you cards to people, but a lot of Christmas messages from folks. I want to thank you all very, very much.
Share. What did he get you? I mean, we all know he got me a Twister game.
He got me a Rush greeting card. And it was the best thing I got for Christmas.
I'm thinking Rush Limbaugh, but no, probably the band.
Yes, the band. Christmas was actually, you asked about my Christmas. I worked the group home the night before. And I woke up and did what I always did. I made him a really nice breakfast. I think the best way to put it would be I made a bread pudding that was kind of like an egg McMuffin as a bread pudding. I had some really nice cinnamon bread, ham, cheese. I mixed up egg and cream, poured it over top, let that sit overnight, put it in the oven in the morning, and they were in love. They absolutely loved that breakfast. I make it every year. For myself, I made myself a vegetarian version of that, where instead of the cinnamon bread, I used regular bread, and I had cheese and vegetables and mushrooms, and I'm still eating it because I made a whole bunch. And it was wonderful. And I spent the day watching the TV show that I want to geek on. If you have the WWE Network, you must watch the Edge and Christian show.
Yes.
It is the funniest damn thing if you get all their inside references. This is basically just for fans, because it references the Shockmaster. It references Sean Mooney. It references the fact that Edge slept with Matt Hardy's girlfriend back in the day. All this stuff. And it's very inside. It's very smarky. So if you've been a longtime wrestling fan, you're going to love it. If you've not been a longtime wrestling fan, you're just going to go, I get it. But it's my favorite thing on the WWE Network, except for the Hardy Halloween special. Joe, have you seen the Hardy Halloween special?
I have not.
It is the broken Matt Hardy getting ready for Halloween. And it's almost as good as the stuff they did for Broken Matt Hardy back at Impact. So I just watched it. Absolutely loved it. And you get an appearance by Papa Shango.
How are you talking?
Hurricane Helms is in it. Skarsgård, the dilapidated boat, who I've missed. I love the dilapidated boat. But, yeah, the Hardy Halloween special. Lots of geeky stuff I was watching over the holidays. And then I went back to the group home, and I got paid time and a half and overtime to watch Ratatouille.
You know, I'm gonna tell you, since we talked Christmas and we're right on top of it, because I didn't talk too much about Christmas, but I had kind of an odd Christmas.
Were you drunk?
Because I was normally Christmas is in three parts. Chris's family, my family, and then my immediate family, just Dana and Holly. This year, they brought the boyfriends.
Uh-oh.
Nah, it's okay. The one we've already talked about, he listens to the show, or at least he said he did, or he listened to one of the shows, and you told me I had to be nice to him because he does. The other one is, they both actually look at my comics, which is cool. But it was odd because I was kind of like, you know, all these years it was just the four of us, and now it's like six of us, at least for the moment. But I did get a book on my daughter at a independent bookstore bought me The Comic Book Story of Professional Wrestling by Aubrey Sitterton and Chris Marino. And this is published by, as I crack it open carefully, 10 Speed Press. So this is not a normal one. But this I had to comment because last year, you remember, I was geeking on that my daughter bought me a book on the history of pro wrestling that was more a textbook than anything else, including going way back into the days when it was a shoot and how it developed into what it is now. This one kind of does the same thing, but with pictures. Woo-hoo! So she's two for two. And then my sister got me this book. I got her a book called The Dead Riders, which I found at Dreamhaven. I actually had four copies of it. Gave one to each, one to Chris, one to Dana, one to Holly, and one to my sister. And then I said, you guys now have a book club. This can be your first book. She got me a book called Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved by Kate Bowler. And I can't open it because she has it lovingly tied up in a bow. So if I'm trying to decide. I do want to open it and read it, but I'm also thinking I should just return it to her as a gift next year. That's the way we roll in this family. So, but no, I had a good Christmas, so. It was pretty good. Anything else on your side of the geek?
The last thing I want to point out that I am geeking on, this episode will be dropping on New Year's Eve.
Merry New Year! Beef jerky time!
For the first time in 4 years, I am not working on New Year's Eve.
Well, good for you.
I have no idea what to do with myself. None at all.
And it's weird because some places are open. Some places, the shops like you and I like to go to, probably are not. It's probably worth a phone call. I know on the Facebooks and sometimes on the emails, I've been getting notes like Nostalgia Zone was having a sale, Issues Needed was having a sale. So, yeah, I mean, you might have a good geek day just by checking around, or I don't know. You're like me. You probably got more things to last a lifetime. Get yourself.
Oh, yeah. January, I've pretty much decided that all I'm going to do is read the shit I've got and play the video games that I've been purchasing. And I actually, last time I went to Walmart for the sixth issue of the DC books, they had the set of Godzilla movies.
Oh, wow.
And they had, it's all of the ones from 1994 till they ended Godzilla in Japan. For a while.
Was that the Final War or was it before that? Okay, yeah, that's I enjoy that movie.
So here's the set, 13 Godzilla movies. Okay. And the little sticker underneath said $9.99. It's like, oh, well, I gotta buy that.
Yeah, that's an awesome deal. Although however,
I bring it up to the counter. First off, I always go to the Walmarts right after I work a Sunday overnight shift. So I'm getting there at 7 and, you know, I'm finishing up at 7 in the morning because I don't want to deal with the. There's literally no one running a register. No one is running a register. It's not, oh, there's only one or two people. No, there is no one. You have to use the self-checkout. Second, it had the big thing on it that, you know, they have to have the special key to unlock it. I flip the little switch to get help. I counted on my phone. It took 15 minutes for them to show up to give help. And then they were like, oh, we got to go somewhere and get the key. So they take the video and water off. Now, when I scanned it, when they bring it back, I scan it, and it's like, oh, it's $50. So somebody must have put it back in the wrong place. Still, 30 Godzilla movies for $50. I may just have a Kaiju New Year.
Didn't you call someone over and say, hey, is this right?
No, because they don't know.
Yeah, well, I've had it sometimes where they just gave it to me on the spot. So, might have been worth it.
I figured it was, you know, somebody just put it back in the wrong place. But, you know, for a $10 set, they wouldn't have had the big security thing on it.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. I thought it was actually labeled $10.
No.
Versus somebody just, yeah. See, if it was labeled and it comes up different at the register.
Right.
Which happens more often than you think. Yeah, I would.
So there we go. Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on. Well, Joe's blathered on about.
I had a good blather session. Believe me, I've been not only pent up from lack of blathering because I've gone from God, I miss talking to you every week too. I don't want to talk to you anymore. To I miss my listeners. To you know, I got a fucking handicap permit. Why doesn't anybody want to go shopping with me?
Because it was Christmas month and we were all crazy busy.
Yeah, but I mean, this is Christmas shopping. I got to park up front at Target instead of all the way in the back. And I had a legit reason.
Well, next weekend.
Believe me, the most fun I had is when Holly would pick me up to go to physical therapy because she was using my truck. And I was like, oh, look, the world. And let me tell you, that's the thing. If you're feeling depressed or you're down in the mouth, get outside and walk around because life's going on. And I just saw something online saying people who go out and see movies once a month, their rate of depression drops by a third. If they do two or three more times of going to just see a movie, it drops by half. So, yeah, we may not be next to you, but we're right. We're with you. We're on your side.
Well, it depends on the movie, too.
Yeah, there is that. I mean, if you want some stinkers, talk to Corey. If you want some good ones, well, I'll talk about it next time. Because I got a ton and a half of movies for my Christmas gift.
Because I still remember when I was dating, the woman I was dating made me take her to go see Live, Laugh, Love.
Mm-hmm.
I left that theater so depressed that I just didn't want to. It's like, yeah. Oh, this was so bad and boring and stupid. The world is terrible. But, as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
Now for 2019, we're going to rake up some music. We have a number of people that have sent us some MP3s, and what we're going to do is line them up and play. So if you've got a band that you like and want to promote, or you are a musician and want to reach our audience, send us a quick line. The information was back in the ads. And not only send us an MP3, because I think that's easier for you to drop into the show, isn't it, Corey?
Why, yes, it is.
And give us some of your bio number. We got some good music, and then we had to go back and say, well, this is great, but
who are you?
What's your website? And how can we get more of your music? So, in the meantime, for the last time, hit my music. Funk is on a roll.
Done, bitches!